And then it would be up to me taking them to the makeup. And so you have to take them through that process, and then you take them either to the green room, depending on how soon their interview is coming. And you also then have another opportunity to either discuss what they will actually be talking about during the interview, because you'd get all of that information beforehand. And personally, there was very interesting topics for me. It was also obviously for the Polish news channel that they were hosting at Omni. And there would be so many different people coming in to talk about different topics, whether it was their own businesses within Toronto or in the GTA, or it would be politicians coming to discuss political news. There would be such a wide array. And probably the most stimulating part for me would then be walking them to the actual interview, and I would be running back to the editing section where I would be either watching them do it live, all the live cut edits, or there would be the recorded ones and seeing the difference. And because I was involved and I was always available for them, that way I also got the ability to have tutorials on their video cameras. So the large ones that they use for TV production, I was able to sit in on a class that they were hosting for their new trainees. So you really never know what kind of opportunities will be allotted to you once you have involved yourself. And if you show that you are able to take on as many tasks as they require, obviously not to overwhelm yourself, you can budget everything, but to just show that you are keen to learn, you will always get rewarded.
I think it's a really great opportunity that you had, because not only did you do the production work, but like you said, you were the receptionist. So that is the first person that anyone sees if they enter a building, if they enter an office. The receptionist is the one that greets the client or the person that's coming in. And at the same time, the receptionist oftentimes leaves a huge impression on the individual. So businesses, organizations, associations oftentimes want that person to not only know everything, but to have the ability to multitask. And I can see that with you. You have an ability to multitask. And that is oftentimes hard for a lot of people to manage a lot of things at once. So in addition to having the ability to multitask and to have the ability to be a highly effective communicator, what are a few additional skills that are required of someone who wants to be a successful production assistant?
I think one of the key skill sets would be to be very organized. You have to be able to plan ahead, but then you also have to be able to adjust. So if your plan doesn't come to fruition, because being a production assistant and in the nature of TV journalism, whether it's news, live, recorded, or anything like that, anything could really change and happen. The guests might be delayed. There could be an accident during their commute or while they're en route. There are so many different variables that could actually influence the entire production, that you have to be able to adjust from the original plan that you had in a manner that doesn't cause panic, you doesn't cause chaos. You simply are able to not maybe necessarily foresee, because there's so many things that you are not able to foresee, but to be able to adapt to whatever is occurring and to do it in a professional manner. Because other than being able to communicate well, there's also communicating in a professional manner.
Right.
And honing in on that skill, you only really get through practice. And as I said, things can throw you off. Things can also work against you in your own personality trait, work on your nerve. But you have to learn how to kind of separate your personal emotions from the task you have at hand. And that's the most important.
I think it's also useful to expect the unexpected.
Exactly.
You know, go into, if you're in a situation like that, you want to not only be professional and be able to communicate professionally, but if there is a situation where a guest is delayed or a person is not able to physically appear for an interview, you not only have to be able to adapt to that, but planning in advance and having a second person or a third person as a potential individual to interview is, I think, key, because you never know if there's a delay. The show has to go on.
Absolutely.
And you can't just stop and freeze and panic or allow your nerves to take over you. You have to realize that this is the situation that you're in. And now as a result of this happening, you have to think about, well, did I prepare? Do I have any alternatives? Do I have a backup? Do I have a team of people that can immediately get someone else to come in and to do the interview and in short notice as well? So I think that's really valuable advice that you provided, communicating professionally, being able to adapt to changes very quickly, and then also having the ability to maintain your composure. You know, if there is a situation where a cancellation happens or a delay, panicking will not do any good. So, and for those of you who are listening, if that is an area where you have an issue in, there are different techniques and different approaches that you can take to looking after that. Oftentimes, planning and being organized, like you said, is, I think, not only fundamental in production work, but in any area of work that you do, project management. If you work on conferences, this conference that we've been working on has required an immense amount of work. And I've been working on this to the very last minute. And I have to say that I've managed a lot of different things at once. And I think it will be a huge success, because although it was brought to our attention last minute, I decided to take the initiative. We had about 1 week to plan this conference. I wanted to take that challenge on, and I wanted to take the initiative to work on this, because I'm always up for a challenge. And I think it's always good to expect the unexpected and to become comfortable being uncomfortable at times.
Definitely.
So if you don't push yourself, and I say this to a lot of young people out there, I know that I'm aging myself by saying that, but I oftentimes tell people to, and today's youth, to try new things. If you're always comfortable doing the same thing, you're not going to grow, you're not going to develop. So one of the best things you can do is to challenge yourself, push yourself, look at all of these different opportunities that are out there, and don't say that you're not able to do something because, oh, you only have a week, and a week is not enough to organize a successful conference. You can always plan, you can always make the time, and look at the people that are around you, because oftentimes teamwork is crucial to success. I know at this conference, I have my colleague who's working on it with me, Fadi Dawood, and he's one of the program editors here of Canada's NATO, here at the NATO Association of Canada. And we've been actively taking all of the RSVPs. We generated a list of people that will be attending the conference. We had meetings, we sat down, and we collaborated on a marketing plan. So we went to U of T. We also went to York University, Ryerson University, and we promoted the conference. We have a lot of consul generals that will be attending from different areas. And I think that that's one of the main things that I wanted to do moving forward, was to challenge myself and to try new things, because it's so easy to restrict yourself and to say, no, I'm coming into work and I'm doing what I know best.
Yeah.
But by taking that initiative, I have to say that I'm excited to attend this conference tomorrow. And I learned something new about myself. I haven't really had a lot of experience other than organizing roundtables or small events. I never really had experience organizing a conference. So this is my first conference that I worked on here at the NATO Association of Canada. And as a result of enjoying this, I decided to take on a few additional projects. And I have to say that I look forward to collaborating with you. I know that you've had a lot of experience working on many of these conferences. So you definitely are someone who knows what you're doing when it comes down to conferences and when it comes down to managing, like project management is key, and timing is essential. For those who are new at conference planning and new to working on conferences, what would you advise these people to do? And myself included, I'm asking you for advice as well. What would you say one should do and what should one not do when planning a conference?
Well, the things to definitely do is provide materials. Mm-hmm. So honestly, the flyer that you have been sending out is fantastic because it's one page to the point. Right now, before a conference, there's not going to be too many people really interested in 5 pages or 10 pages. They really just want the gist of it. And also right now, because everything is so big in social media, having the event group on Facebook that is set up, that's a fantastic way to also get the word out more, because people will either click that they are interested in the event and that automatically goes on their entire network newsfeed, or that they're going, and if they share it on their walls, there's so much potential in that type of almost guerrilla marketing, really is what it is. Mm-hmm. So that, I would say, is fantastic and the best way to go about it. But then when it actually comes to the conference itself, it also helps immensely to have live streaming social media posts for all of it. Also having photography being done for professional updates later, which for this conference...
You're our professional photographer, so we're very excited to have you doing our photography, and I have to thank you. I want to thank you for doing
that
for us as well.
Of course. I mean, I'm beyond ecstatic to the fact that you have even reached out to me to be more active within NATO and to use some of my passion hobbies to assist in the conferences. That's a bigger joy for me. But aside from that, you actually also had a fantastic idea in saying that we should also have an interview following the conference. That way, whether it's a video or if it's a podcast, for those people that were not able to make it, because it does happen during the week, it's not during hours that necessarily everyone can attend, but probably wanted to know how the actual conference did occur. So having that follow-up multimedia information and package is absolutely amazing. And how you mentioned that you have that RSVP list, that is also all of the people you should follow up with in email, either attaching that multimedia. Also, for myself, I would be happy to offer if anyone would want to do their own write-up or submit anything about it and they would like to request photos to be attached to that, that's also a wonderful way to basically promote the success of the event, and that way it provides that reference material for your next conference. So you can actually have something to refer back to if someone's interested. Oh, well, I don't really know how it goes down. What's the difference between a conference and a roundtable? Oh, here's our multimedia package. Take
Absolutely.
A look. So those are the most important things. And what not to do? Well, what not to do would be to pick the wrong speakers.
I have to say that being here at the NATO Association of Canada, I'm lucky not to have had that experience.
Yes.
But I have had experiences in the past in university where I've been invited to conferences, various events, and there's nothing worse than having a speaker that is not prepared.
Yes.
I really feel that if you're a speaker and you're invited to a conference or an event or a roundtable, anywhere that you have committed to speak, I think you should be organized. You should know what you're talking about. It's oftentimes good to have a visual representation, perhaps
yes.
a PowerPoint. Some people are visual learners, so they like to see. But if you don't have a visual representation to support your speech, then at least be intriguing, be captivating, have that energy.
You can take the additional step to have that communication with the speakers. Obviously, most speakers are very busy, and that's usually why we would invite them to be speakers, because they are successful within their realm of expertise. But having that additional communication and touch point from the second that you invite them and leading up to the conference, where obviously it's going to be segmented, you're not going to be hounding this person, but leading up to it, you could ask, do you have visual representation? Do you have a PowerPoint? If you would send me some images and information or let me know, I would be happy to compose it for you or have one of our interns compose it for you. Any way that you can, from an organizational point of view, secure the fact that the speaker that you have chosen and invited is going to relate to the subject and inspire the audience doesn't necessarily have all those other additional visual aids or anything like that, that maybe you might be able to supply in advance as well. So that would kind of be one way to ensure that everyone is on the same page